can just start this thing.
Chair, just to clear that on page 9 at the bottom, the heading that says performance of DPW programs, all of those programs where it says information to be inserted below, that will be part of the table as instructed by Ma Masiela for us to have the allocations and the expenditures together. Page 10. Chair, there's what we're doing from here onwards is really to unpack some of the stuff that we've said previously. Mm-hmm. So I will skip some things and not go to every single one. Just to say that there will be a heading at the top of this page that will say the property management trading entities and its performance. So what we do from here onwards is the PMTE and not the DPW. Adverse opinion was expressed on the PMTE's annual financial statement. It received a qualified in 15-16, which means that the situation has worsened. The entity was given time since July this year, but no improvements were made. Main issues, property, plant and equipment, incorrect data used to determine value of assets in the immovable asset register. Now just this alone, Chair, is huge. Not for the PMTE, but for the sector. It means all governments, all the values that we were given on our trip to the Eastern Cape, all the values we were given on our oversight over the harbours, whenever we asked for the immovable asset register, is in doubt. Accrued expenses, now if those values, number one's values, are incorrect, then your accrued expenses and every receivables and every single thing there, Chair, is in doubt, and there are no supporting documentations possible, nothing is possible, unscheduled maintenance. So 1, 2, 3, and 4, same thing, due to what I would call is the incapacitation of staff. Others will refer to it as systems. I have my view that it's leadership and that it's bad management and that people don't meet, or simply put, maybe there's not enough tracking and monitoring right from the top where I referred to right at the beginning, Chair, the policy leader. Office of the policy leader needs to be looked at. Risk management stagnated, I'm at the bottom of 10. Due to financial control and administration sections being under-resourced. I am going to repeat myself if I read there, Chair. It's about incapacity of staff. The next page, risk management function in the DPW and PMTE, not just the PMTE, but I will take DPW out here, Chair, because in this section we've already dealt with the DPW, we will refer here only to the PMTE. Risk management function was under-resourced. That's the main reason for the several misstatements and omissions. The matter was viewed as very serious, given the... this is what we are saying. It comes from our interaction on Thursday with the department and the minister. The 109 million that was not spent is now, if you look at this, the issue of capacity is clearly showing its effects. Chair, a paragraph will be inserted here that will say that we are now going to look at the entities. So, if we look at the annual report of the entities, honourable members were all present during the interaction with the IDT. I'm not going to read the IDT's background. We all know the IDT and where it comes from. So most of what's at the bottom of page 11, I will skip and go to the areas of weaknesses on 12. And these are the weaknesses that led to the continued disclaimer for the entity. I will just read the headings. Loss of key leadership in accounts and financial management staff. this was last year as well. Inadequate document management systems, low capacity of internal audit function, and poor record keeping of internally contracted services. All of these were referred to actually in the previous year as well. Issues in the financial statement, and I'm just referring to the areas that require attention. We are at the bottom now of 12. IDT identified procurement, project accounting, and revenue management as areas that required specialized technical support to strengthen its controls, its management of financial management records, and it experienced challenges with its accounting system. Program cash equivalents and program reserves and liabilities, these matters were already as in 2014 when we started this parliamentary session, and it is still the case. We're talking about huge amounts of money. We're talking about the fact that the Auditor General was unable to audit balances that were valued at 874 million. And we were given an explanation, and that explanation follows in the following paragraph, that this was old information that had to be sorted out and that they were in the process of doing it. The problem is, as long as it's not sorted out, every financial year will come up as bad. And that is the case in this financial year as well. But we must note that the entity promised that it would be completed in this financial year. In this report, the promise remains unfulfilled. Inaccurate recording of program expenditure, management fees and trade receivables. Again, old issue. That's the whole issue of Great Plains, etc. Members can, if they want to have a long history lesson, read that. But again, if data, old data is not sorted out, old debt is not sorted out, it will come back every time to bite you. And that's the case with the AGT. Compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. These are as we reported on DPW. People are not complying with the PFMA and Treasury regulations. Page 14. I'm not reading about material misstatements, etc. It is because they're not complying, so material misstatements are there. Procurement and contract management. That's again contraventions of the PFMA. Goods, works and services not always procured through the proper system and process. Persons in service of the entity or other supply chain management functionaries whose associates had private or business interests in contracts were awarded by the entity, they participated in the process. That's not legal, it's illegal. So, Chair, I go to the bottom of 14 around weak expenditure management. Let me just explain why the print is different, Chair. The amounts must be checked. These are not the correct amounts. And we will insert the correct amounts here. I'm aware of that. That's why I changed the colors. So there's been weak expenditure, again contravention of the PFMA, and it resulted in loss of millions. I will correct the amounts. 15 on revenue management. The IDT did not take effective and appropriate steps to collect money due to it from client departments. Now, this is again illegal. If you deliver a service and you cannot collect the service, money for the service, that's illegal. You must be able to do it. You must have systems in place to do it. Now, what follows in the next few paragraphs, we stated in the previous financial year, and we are referring here to the fact that, Chair, and we will check the dates and we'll check the information, and again the amounts here, but Chair, this entity was not supposed to ever get money from government again. It was paid 50 million in our 14-15, and we were told, Ines, was that the last one? 14-15. We were told in 14-15 that would be the last time. We heard on Thursday, Chair, or Wednesday, I can't remember which day, but we heard last week that they were given 111 million. I somehow also heard that there was a 124 million tranche also planned to be paid later in this year or next year. So they're now getting more than what they get previously, even though they said that it would not take place again. Now, if that happens, Chair, Parliament's committee must know before it happens. The committee was left out. The oversight, parliamentary oversight authority of the department and the minister was left out of this. The decision was taken, I think it was done in April, after the, I think it was in this financial year. So Chair, it's crucial that we cannot allow that to take place. Chair, I'm done with the IDT, and I think my colleague just wants to come in.
Yes, but then I'll give it over to you.
I think the other thing that must be inserted here is this rescheduling of the IDT, because how it's currently functioning, it's a 2, it's a Schedule 2, so it's not supposed to be getting money from the department. But one of the things that did happen was that it was supposed to be rescheduled as a 3A. But in this meeting that we've had, or was it now the ministers, I'm not sure in which document I saw this, they're now reviewing that decision and saying, no, it's best that it works as a 2, a Schedule 2, as it currently is. So that was also information that had to be brought to the committee prior to. So I think we just need to clarify that area in terms of the scheduling of the committee, because the committee did actually ask for a legal opinion in terms of what the impact would be if the IDT is rescheduled.
Honourable for Dan.
Thank you, Chair. I think the statement by our content advisor to the effect that we were informed sometime last year or so that no more monies will be channeled to IDT, I think in order for us to deal with this report more efficiently, we need to be certain about that. So I would request that our staff get that report and send it to us long before we go to the NA to deliver it on this. Otherwise, we would be working on dangerous territory if we do not have a precise report on that to say this is what was written to us, submitted to us by the department on such and such a date. Then we'll then have a legal leg to stand on to say on what basis then did you continue to fund them. It's important. And then about issue being raised by our researcher, my take is that this is exactly the question that I raised with the minister, but because of the tone of my utterances, he didn't go so far as to respond to that exactly, because I was asking him whether the restructuring of the IDT as well as the approaches to treasury, you know, how that process was finalized. And I think now we need to know exactly where we are. And that will help us as we deliberate on the PRRRs in the National Assembly. Without knowing exactly what the status is, we can make, a wrong, so to speak, recommendation or inappropriate recommendations. Question of the money and question of the status. Because we spent many, many hours, as so many of us who have long been with the committee would recall, many, many hours, we're even empathizing with the IDT's situation, but now for us to get this kind of report, in order for us to be able to help a government to move forward, we want those two reports, ASAP, I would say. What is the status of that process now? Have they abandoned it? Or what is it, as well as this resolution or the statement that they made to us. Particularly given the very, very poor performance by IDT. I know that the reason that was most commonly advanced by them was that they are between a hard place and a rock or something like that. Staff are leaving, hence they are not able to perform, and at the same time the department is not coming to the party to stop, where the staff training. So now, that's why these two elements, you know, need to be clarified. Thank you.
I don't know if you are in the position to say something on this one here. You know, IGT in most cases, as you go through this, it is also frustrated by the sister departments who are not paying them in time. We know that presently when you talk about contractors who are paying citizens after the work of things that they must be doing. What about the IGT? Because if they have done a job somewhere, they must be paid so that they are able to go to another one, and so on and so on. Secondly, the issue we have got this confusion about who identifies the projects that are done by IGT. Who identifies them? Because at times it seems as if people are blaming them for not doing 1, 2, 3, 4, which we have seen somewhere being dilapidated and they're not doing it, and yet they must wait for the sister department to say to them, we have got this 1, 2, 3 projects that are dilapidated and we want you to come in, and not themselves just picking and choosing what they want to do. What can you say about that issue?
Oh, sorry.
Chair, I think something we also need to highlight here is the substantial risk that was highlighted by the IDT of the amount of litigation that they are currently embroiled in. But to me, it's not the litigation and the associated risks which are the real story here. It's more the culture of there's problems in the system and they're not being addressed, which is leading to the litigation. So, you know, I remember the IDT saying that they've established a litigation team instead of rather dealing with, you know, it's like, again, putting cream on the wart, but the wart is still underneath it, okay, the wart's still growing. So they're not dealing with the actual underlying problems, they're dealing with the symptoms. I think we certainly need to highlight that in this report as well.
Chair, we will look into all of this and ensure that those are inserted. Just on the point Honourable Masiela is making, it is somewhere in here. I just didn't read it now. The issue, Chair, of departments not paying management fees. We if honourable members recall the meeting at our Tambo, it was raised there quite seriously. Not quite seriously. Quite succinctly, they dealt with it there. And actually said to us that all will be fine because there is a Treasury practice note, honourable chair, that says that all departments must pay, and the practice note includes a time frame within which they must pay, and so therefore all will be fine. But that's such a long time ago that it's the same financial year. It's not so long ago. It was the other day that we were there. And we requested the practice note, Chair, and it did not come to the committee. It didn't come to the committee, but it also seems like the reason why it didn't come to the committee is because departments, we didn't see it, and I don't think departments saw it either. The only thing we got now is that 111 million rand was paid to them, to make certain that they can continue as a business. So, but what we will do, Chair, is to make certain that the information that the Honourable Sultani is insisting on is there, and that members are as certain as I am and Inez is that 50 was supposed to be the last and 111 should not have been paid. unless, of course, as Inez correctly points out, Chair, if the department decided to reschedule the entity back to two, then it's fine, then it can get the money. No, I'm saying that's the type of reasoning that I suspect is going on. That the department has made a decision to move the entity into a situation where National Treasury will continue funding it. Now, it's a serious problem, but it seems like that is the case. So we will have to look into that and make certain that honourable members get the correct information. Chair, if I may continue to the Council for the Built Environment. Again, I will not go through the background and go to page 16. That basically just highlights the overall performance of the CBE. This is an entity that members were pleased with as it received an unqualified audit from the Auditor General. It achieved 73% of its targets, 27% not achieved. And in 15-16 it had an unqualified, and this year as well. There is the matter of irregular expenditure of 6.8 million in the previous financial year, which was an increase of 2.3 from the 4.5 that it had in the previous one. The irregular expenditure of 2.3 million was incurred due to these two matters. And I just noticed that I'm busy reading only 15-16 information. We must just insert the 16-17 irregular expenditure into the section of the report for the CBE. Members were pleased to also hear that the irregular expenditure was addressed by the CBE, which gives us an idea that the internal financial management of this entity is at least functioning. Because if the Auditor General raises certain things, they can go to the internet systems, they can find the mistakes and relatively quickly address the matters. There are apparently no new instances of irregular expenditure, the CBE seems to be on track. The CIDB Chair, bottom page 16, to the middle of, or just the top of 17, deals with its mandate. In the middle of 17, we refer to something that emerged in our discussions and through this presentation, and that is that the CIDB established an ad hoc committee that started a process of interrogating manners in which the entity could deliver more effectively on its mandate. And the committee noted that because of the work of this ad hoc committee, the CIDB could record that it's giving attention to the five bullets that follow, and that is aligning the powers of the organization with the intended outcomes of the legislation, the CIDB legislation, align the powers and functions of the CIDB with the industry's needs and expectations. That's linked to the provincial fora where they meet stakeholders, and strengthening the entity's powers and authority to regulate the industry, and remove areas of ambiguity and vagueness in the roles and responsibilities of the CIDB, and finally to reconcile the conflicting and contradictory dual role of the CIDB to both regulate and develop the construction industry. These areas we noticed were extensively interrogated. The sentence seems strange, but I will fix that. There's an error there, Chair. Where the board worked with the management on this. It seems as if the CIDB is doing work, Chair, that I must say belongs with DPW's Program 4, which is construction policy, construction and regulatory policy and research, because this ad hoc committee's work is the type of work that that branch of the department must do, and it's working towards getting a new or an amended piece of legislation for the CIDB in place. Other matters that emerged from our deliberations were related to the Auditor General's opinion on the financial statement and the following bullets. summarize them, and these are reliability and accuracy of its financial statements that was questioned due to evidence required in its portfolio of evidence. This huge amount again of irregular expenditure that was disclosed in note 29 of the annual financial statement, management of vacancies, daily and monthly processing and reconciling of transactions, and non-compliance to the PFMA and Treasury regulations that's related to monitoring. These were raised as matters that require future attention to prevent the entity going into problems. The entity itself says that it plans to put systems in place to track and monitor action plans to ensure clean audit for the following financial year. Now, looking at allocated budgets to reach targets, they reported that 71% of outcomes were achieved with the allocated budget. The annual report showed that the CIDB did not have adequate human resources to ensure that the target to provide an effective and efficient registration of contractors and to manage that register was constrained. The sentence is far too long and is a mess. I will fix that up. The committee made it clear in its engagements that it was not acceptable that the allocated budget for human resources was spent, yet the contractor's register was not sufficiently managed. I'm not certain, I think this was the Honourable Dr. Fig that raised this point and made it, and that this required urgent future attention. Similarly, concerning the target to provide an effective and efficient registration service, the issue of software solutions and the rolling out of planned software that was halted, yet the allocated budget was spent. So this is an ineffective way of working with money. CIDB wanted to install an IT system that was required to check on the Companies and Intellectual Properties Commission annual tax return to ensure that when people come and register, their tax clearance are already done. Honourable members would recall our last visit to Chinchili, where the village, where the clinic was not added over. It's that type of thing. How can you let somebody get a tender to construct, but the person owes tax? That's unheard of. So this type of rolling out of excuse me, of an IT system would assist with that. With regards to the slow rate of transformation, the presenters stated that the challenge remained for the CIDB to work out sustainable mechanisms to assist contractors from historically disadvantaged backgrounds remain mostly in grades 1 to 6 to advance to the higher grades. I recall a report, Chair, and I'm saying this because we must just recall that our evidence that we use when we draft this has to do with our oversight. This committee's oversight drives this report, not just the department's presentation. Our oversight elicited information from the acting CEO. I don't recall whether he was in that position, where he referred to work that they are doing with the NHBRC to look at how to assist grade 1 to 9 contractors with funding, getting bank accounts, and getting their businesses running. We will insert some of that information here as well. And we will refer to this potentially clinic as well. Regarding the deregistration or downgrading of contractors, I must just say, Chair, just to remind members that this deregistration was meant to be to penalize. It was used as a measure to penalize contractors. But the entity stopped it because this was going to dilute the power of the CIDB. But unfortunately, they don't give us another measure that they would follow to stop contractors that transgress from transgressing. So while they stop the downgrading, we don't know what they do to actually penalize people. With regards to the grading of contractors, it was established that grading could not continue to use as a to be used as a risk management tool. It would prevent development of contractors as a focus area that has been identified as crucial for a changed high-performance organization. Giving effect to the core operational aspect of grading contractors, performance emerged as an important factor to consider in addition to the factors of turnover, largest contract, available capital, etc. I'm not certain, Honorable Fultani, you may recall. That's the same meeting where this was said. Rather than just using how much money a person can manage to grade, the issue of the quality of work, etc. must also come in. Chair, I'm pausing there on the top, I think, of page 19.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to go back to, okay, so this is the last paragraph on page 18, where they talk about the slow rate of transformation. Now, obviously, 2 days after we had this presentation, the Department of Public Works gave us a presentation where they laid out the mandate of the department, and part of what they include there is DPW white paper from 1999 titled Creating an Enabling Environment for Reconstruction, Growth and Development in the Construction Industry. Mm-hmm. So there's a white paper that exists. The CIDB did not reference that white paper at all in their presentation. And I wonder if there's a mismatch or a need to reassess or reevaluate the white paper and have a fresh look and look at if the ideal recommendations made in that are implementable or not. And it's something I think that, again, it goes back to a strategic review that needs to happen in this department, and I'm going to bang on this, and I was banging on it for 3 days last week, I'm going to bang on it for 3 days this week if we meet for 3 days. The department is in urgent need of a proper and thorough strategic overview. The 1999 paper that is there, that's 18 years ago, it's ready for a birthday party where it's allowed to drink alcohol for the first time. Okay, this, if it's not working, we're still sitting 18 years later with it not working. We can't carry on doing the same thing over and expecting different results. I really didn't buy the CIDB's story that, you know, transformation is happening so slowly because of the contracting economy, etc. And specifically, Chair, the fact that they themselves said they exceeded their targets for new registrations, but they registering new people who happen to be the same as the old people. So I think that we need to reference something there that deals with the fact that you know they're not achieving what they set out to do, and it's not something new. It's not a new mandate that's been given to them. We're going back to 1999 where they were given this mandate.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think this one here, which I noticed when I go through it properly, I think it is okay. About assisting those contractors from 1 to 6 and not do away with, and not deal with this issue of downgrading. But I thought for consistency's sake, as we talk about this one, to say 71 of the outcomes were received, were achieved, we must also say so much percentage was not achieved as we have been doing all along. Thank you.
So I want to
praise the indulgence of my colleagues here and ask if we want to have a position, concerted position, consensual position on how we view the decision to stop downgrading. I want to pursue, you know, a singular personal view on this. It's one of those areas where I prefer not to trust my own judgment. I want to necessarily politicize it. But I'd like for us to have a brisk discussion on how we view this decision by the department, by the CIDB and then the department to stop downgrading in view of the question that I asked is what impact does this have if you keep a person, a contractor, in the same grade and then when a job comes up which is for that grade and you know that this person really should have been downgraded, but because you've had a blanket policy to say, no, we are not going to downgrade, what impact will that have on the both of the contractors as well as on the quality of the work that they were doing in a grade in which they were supposed to have been downgraded for? How do other members feel about that?
Members, there's a question we posed.
Okay. Honorable Chair, downgrading, in most cases, so when we look at it, it only affects with contractors that are from disadvantaged sites, you know. Because what is being done, as you can see here, we talk only of those in 1 up to 6. But if we can include performance also within that, maybe that could be better. Because otherwise it seems as if we are trying to punish those ones who are right down there. And I'm sure also the department, they've got the responsibility to assist these contractors who are down there to pick them up to go up, instead of just using an egg to chop them down. But they must do something first. It's only when after they have assisted these people, they have done whatever they're supposed to do to make sure that they upgrade them, is then that they can go to that one. Maybe if you can put it in that way. They have to assist them to get out of the situation.
They have taken a decision not to downgrade. And I'm saying, how do we feel about that, given the possibility that the person who should have been downgraded will now not be downgraded, and as such, they may be operating as way above their capacity, so to speak. They've taken a decision not to downgrade.
Yeah, no, colleagues, that's why I was referring. You can remember when we dealt with the entities, not just with the department, but also in terms of the entities that we must meet on a quarterly basis. Because, you see, to do good can do harm, or can be harmful as well.
Absolutely.
So the owners will then be for the whole built environment sector to get together. In other words, the entities with the NHVRC, with human settlements, must talk to each other, the whole bulk environment settlement section. Because if a contractor is not working, how will you be able to gauge and judge them in terms of grading? So then that contractor must get work. Whether it's the building of low-cost housing, whether it's the building of settlements, or whether it's the building of big projects, whether the big great nine, the department must then come up, or CIDB must then come up with the big great nine and the department to say that as a great nine you need to turn up with grades from grade 1 to 6 so that we can gauge them in terms of that. But I think for those purposes, yes. Sure. I think for this purpose, for the BRRR report, I'm not sure whether we should put that in now here, or whether we should wait for the engagement with the department to give our review, our recommendations to the department to say, these are the following scenarios that we want you to adopt, or to take into consideration, or to take in place. Because a lot of people won't be downgraded, but they'll still stay stagnant on the grade where they are. Rightfully, as you say, if it's grade 3, he's not going to be downgraded, but will he be upgraded? He'll stay stagnant. And then you'll find, at the end of the day, you'll find a bottleneck somewhere in your middle section. You'll find a bottleneck there. And then you'll have too much contractors to appease them. You say, no, I need to push you, I need to push you. And then that's also where it comes in terms of, I know certain people, so I'll push him for maybe grade 7, grade 8, that type of thing. So we need to keep that in mind when we're going forward, when we engage with the CIDB, is to say, no, fine, what you've done is good, but also you can't have dead wood in the system. There must be some sort of thing that the whole built environment system must talk to each other. Because at the moment, we have found that human settlements and public works are talking to each other. They are not, you know. So for this purpose, I think that we don't have to necessarily put that in, but in our engagement going forward, that we then make them aware that guys, to do good can also be harmful.
That's true.
I don't know if members, Honorable Basera.
Okay, Chair, I do agree with you on that one. Okay, so I think I agree with you on that one. But maybe also we should have said something, because this is also what we have been saying so many times, I don't think dependent. Regulation of the joint venture. This is not possible to do it from the government. Because there are so many small contractors that are suffering under this joint venture.
I think with our engagement with them, we must ask them, what's the feasibility? Mm. If they can in actual fact write it into, or put it part of the regulations, or write it into the scripts, as such to say that if you are a grade 9, we'll give you to build, for argument's sake, the Tata High Court, but look around for the grade 1 to 6 around in that area, so that they can partner with you, but also then for the CIDB to come and grade them, to move them up to a higher grade as such. That is, I think that is where the CIDB is lacking in its oversight role. The same as with the Tourism Grading Council. We have a bed and breakfast, for argument's sake, in Long Street, but in Guguletu, or in Madanzani, or in Tzanin. But because it is not in Polokwane, and it's 5-star, there's people 5-star rating, right through, the whole service. But because it's not in Polokwane or in Durban or in Cape Town, in a big city, it can't be rated a 5 or a 4 star. It's a rural area, it must be rated a 3 star. But the passing trade and all that, the qualities of this specific establishment makes it type of a 5 star, master builder. But because it can't, it does your house beautiful, columns, arches, the whole lot, beautiful. But because he does not always get the job to prove that he is a qualified master builder and to prove that he can also sing in the same choir as the grade 7s or grade 8s, because he doesn't get their job. And we've got thousands of them out there, man. Thousands of them. And that's again where the social impact comes in. Honorable Dan.
I see that this draft report does not as yet speak to recommendations. When do we intend factoring that in? Or is it still coming today?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to go on to that? Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking is because of exactly what you have just, the statement you have just made. I'm trying to find a way in which you can persuade the department to link the awarding of contractors with the database or with the office CIDB, such that the very in the very contract itself, what you have said, I know this is what I have suggested as well because 2015, but of course it isn't, it wasn't carried through. But I'm glad that you know you've hit on the same note, you know. And I'm now trying to establish a way in which we can say when contracts are awarded, you know, people who are in the correct grade within CIDB should be accorded an opportunity. It should be part of the contract to say you must take, you know, so many from such and such an area. These are people who have been certified by CIDB to be qualified. Instead of just, I called it in 2015, unbundling of these large contracts. That's the term I used, you know. But I don't think the department paid much attention. But perhaps if we have it now as part of our recommendations, you know, maybe, you know, we will then have a reason to say to them, how far have you gone? How many contracts have you issued this quarter? And show us proof that those contracts have been unbundled to a very large extent. Because we can't just rely on contractors telling us on site when it happened to hit a given construction site, and they tell us, no, 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 but so many contractors, you know, who are local, like what we're told in the High Court in Bombela, you know, that other year, as well as what we're told in Chacha and so forth. We can't, that's not reliable information. Those reports should come from the department. Then we'll be able to say at the end of the day, this is our legacy. In our time, we persuaded the department to come up with something they have never done before, and because we put our foot down for the sake of the people on the ground, it is happening. Yes.
I think because they don't talk to each other.
Yes, they don't.
They don't talk to each other.
There's no evidence that they do.
Yeah, and because they don't talk to each other, I mean, if you go to Human Settlements, Human Settlements put out an advertisement. The MEC or whoever knows one or two or three or five people with contracts, he approaches them, he sees whether they are registered with NHBRC, all that, and off they go. NHBRC does not talk to the CIDB. You know, so I think our recommendation should be that the built environment should engage each other. It should engage each other. Because by that way, you then also take away and cut out the unnecessary wasteful expenditure, unnecessary damaging that you do to contractors, and then you can move forward in that regard. Okay. Great.
We are on page 19 in the middle of Agrimo essay. Now, with Agrimo essay, because it is a smaller amount of information to report, We have the information. It's not inserted here. I apologize for that, Chair. But this portion will be completed today. And with the committee's indulgence, we will submit it. This will be done properly. And I will ensure that it's done properly. Just, Chair, then we move to the note of appreciation, which is bottom 19, top 20, which really says that we commend the Minister and the Deputy Minister and the TPW and PMTE for the progress made in stabilizing the department and operationalizing the PMTE. We then carry on and says that we note the high level of cooperation between the department and the other entities in its engagement and reporting to the committee. But a sentence needs to be inserted immediately after that, Chair, which says that the committee is, however, concerned about the lack of the timeliest quarterly reporting to the committee over the last financial year. The Secretary has written several emails to the Department for those quarterly reports. We wanted quarter 3 and 4 with us before the engagement so that we could have the committee ready for that engagement. Unfortunately, there was no response even, Chair, and we raised it with you as a chairperson to possibly engage with the executive. The next paragraph of that says that the committee is specifically pleased that the Minister and the DG responded to the recommendations that the committee has made in meetings. And this is in reference to a welcome practice from the Minister since the turnaround strategy, which I think is part of the turnaround strategy, to submit a lengthy response. And that, honourable members, I have access to because we do have it. That he submits to the Speaker of Parliament, and through the Speaker it then comes to us. And those are responses to our recommendations. Unfortunately, it's honestly always on paper, and we don't see it necessarily concretized in the performance of the department. But there is at least a response to us. And I say there that this response enabled the committee to use the evidence provided in oversight meetings, visits, and preparatory work for the budget review and recommendation report that reviews this, and there is an error there financial here. Mm-hmm. Now, Chair, recommendations, the one that is listed there refers to the one that the Honourable Ryder noticed. Honourable members would, if you read those, there are two white papers. When the current minister in the presidency, Minister Hadebe, was Minister of Public Works, under his watch as policy leader, these white papers were developed. And the one white paper speaks about DPW as a department. Now, white papers, they develop into green papers and sometimes black papers. But each process, well, in our country, never black papers, it was in the UK, in the Commonwealth, they say. But in the process, the chair, I need protection on the road, it was from the chair.
You're coming with this black paper, UK politics, there
you were self correction.
Is that like the Sowetan?
I'm not the chair. I'm so sorry I raised. But it's just the policy, the process from white paper to legislation is a crucial one. It's one that engages the stakeholders. Now, since 97 is the first white paper, 99, as Honourable Ryder correctly pointed out, is the other one. The other one refers to transformation in the sector. And it actually goes so far as to speak about property sector. And there, that's where we overlap, Honourable Fultani, with human settlement as department around the sale of property. Now, this department has not since 99 onwards, 97 in the case of the department's mandate, done anything on this. It realized it in the previous parliament and therefore made promises in the strategic plan 2014-2019 that it would deliver a review of those white papers. It is that crucial that it comes out every time as a problem. So that first recommendation is, Chair, again, that the review of the white public works white papers are undertaken as per the annual performance plan and strategic plan, so that the large amount allocated to Program 4 does not end up as futile expenditure, not exercise. The next recommendation, Chair, it's not on the papers, honourable members, I apologise for that, would read that the Minister, sorry Chair, may I just mention why the recommendations look like they do? In terms of this, honourable member, our recommendations can never be to the department because of the first things that we said on the, in this report. And that is that we don't do oversight over the department. We do oversight over the minister, and as a committee, we as oversight mechanism tell the minister what we want the minister to do on a BRRR. That's legislated like that.
That's why I had this mental question about that first sentence on page 20, where we mentioned the department. Top page 20, portfolio committee commends the minister and deputy minister, Department of Public Works. Why would we commend the department for dealing with the portfolio? Especially given the fact that you just re-emphasized what you said earlier, that we're not dealing with the department, we're dealing with the minister. Or do we loosely just say the department, and then we know that we've included the minister there? I think I'm more comfortable with us just referring to the department rather than splitting heads. We know the department is headed by the minister. Unless we feel that in a, call it, spectacular, singular way, the minister did something out of the ordinary.
I think we should, I would rather refrain just to say that the executive authority.
Even better so.
The executive authority.
But I think it's, at the same time, Chair, I think it's a common trend to refer to a department. And people know that the minister is necessarily included. Think about even people back home. When you talk about the executive authority, people try to figure out now what do they mean. And it would mean that throughout your deliberation and presentation of your report, you only refer to the executive authority and never refer to the department. And yet if we say department, then the minister is necessarily included,
but,
obviously.
But what is the fundamental problem, honorable Kutani, with this, as it is now, the topic, because it does make mention of the executive authority, department, as well as PMT.
Laboratory and location of each of them. maybe they can have that, so that the products that they're coming up with, which are very important, most of them are able to use them.
No. Yeah, members, now I hear what you say. But if you look at paragraph 2 on the Masera, it also says that the committee further notes the high level of cooperation of the department, the PMTE, the IDT, CBE, CIDB, and AGRIMA, South Africa. So I don't think that we need to include that. But Honorable Futani, for now, can we leave it as is? And I think we just need to, our clever people here, find a way of how we package it in future.
Okay, Chair. Just one very conspicuous and embarrassing here. So at the end of that first paragraph, we say and the MTE for the progress made in stabilizing the department and operationalizing PMTE. So something grammatically wrong.
Are we saying PMTE helped to stabilize, let's talk of content, we're giving credit to PMTE for stabilizing the department? Surely someone would say, something wrong.
And then of course, the repetitive use of PMTE, stabilize the department and operationalizing yourself as PMTE, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Maybe we, without dictating to them, that needs to be reviewed. I'm sure
this
is understood that this needs to be revisited.
No, I agree with you there, because the PMTE, the Auditor General were not kind on the PMTE.
Absolutely.
So we can't commend them.
Mm.
I mean, it's like we are commending now the wrong thing.
Exactly.
You know, we, I think it can be...
I think
it's
not
that
we
will take
the...
I'm
agreeing with you.
It's not a crime, man.
Chairperson, may I just put the first sentence at the top in perspective? We are in a turnaround phase, and part of the turnaround phase of the department was achieved. That first sentence refers to that, which is why it is saying what it's saying. What needs to happen is, and the repetition will be cleaner. But what must happen after that is to actually refer to the cracks that's appearing in the armor, because there has been achievement. We can't just hammer them as if there wasn't an achievement. The operationalization of the PMTE was an important outcome, and it must therefore be referred to. But we will then balance it out with a reflection on the matters that emerged. Chair, just about the issue of ministers as part of the department. Unfortunately, I would love to agree with the members, but it's unfortunately factually incorrect. It's not correct that ministers are part of the
department. Okay, no.
Ministers are the executive authority
over them
that has under it an executing authority. And the executing authority has a team of soldiers with battle fairy people. Supposed to be. That deliver services to people. Ministers, members of parliament and ministers are political officers of government. That's why I always shudder when I hear people say that Honorable Bhutani is a public servant. Because you can't say that a minister, a member of parliament, and a DG is on the same level. They're not. That's why I hesitated earlier on, and even now, to enter any of the possible political aspects of the work that we are doing. That's the members. None of what I say belongs to me. What members say actually do belong to them and the people that they represent. Bureaucrats do not have that, which is why a member, I would hesitate to ever call a member, a minister part of the department. Executive authority, and ministers, even the deputy ministers, not. So we will do as the chair instructed, executive authority, etc.
Right.
Chair, if I just need to put what the Honourable Matsihela suggested about the Agrimo essay and give words to her suggestion as a recommendation, Chair, and say that the committee recommends that the Minister of Public Works guide the ASA or provide guidance. I will even go so far. Guide would refer the regulation that we're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to say regulation yet. We just say guide the Agrimo SA towards establishing strategies to ensure the marketing of its products and services. And then, Chair, now I'm not certain, Chair, whether I read this one or not, because there's a few other recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
May I just go through them?
Mm-hmm.
Portfolio Committee recommends that the Minister of Public Works ensures that the department and PMTE timely report on its quarterly performance reports to this committee. Three, ensures that the department and the IDT board report on the scheduling of the entity and the latest payments to it. Four, ensures that the PMTE report to the committee on a quarterly basis on its efforts to capacitate its financial administration sections, its financial control, and report on its ICT systems. 8.5 ensures that, where are we now?
I'll tell you what, Sherry. Because, you know, I'm just worried, because of the interest of time, but also the other fact that tomorrow we might not have a quorum. That's the one, and Honorable Jobo is attending labor. Honorable Adams is still off. Honorable Matlopa, we are not sure whether she will be around from sick. So I would, if I can plead with you members, that we should add all those recommendations in. If he can send us, if we can pass this report now with the recommendations, and he can send us that recommendation stuff today or tomorrow morning. Is that fine with you members? If you see or feel that anything is not right, please feel free to email him back and as such. Honorable Kupani?
Sir,
just to take our memories back to a recent oversight visit we made. On so many occasions, we made a promise to the people that were our audience that we are about to go through the bid for us, and that would recommend this, would recommend that. I would hope that our staff picked up those,
mm-hmm.
and I expected that those would be factored in here, whether for discussion first, or but at least it should be part of this, because we made a promise to those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that on Thursday I won't be around, you know, even, but that's not a critical factor in the context of the fact that you know, time, as well as the fact that we have got a common understanding on a number of issues, critical ones. But I think it's important for us to do something about the promises
mm.
that you made to, you know, to the people. I repeat the fact that, you know, I hope that our staff did pick up those, you know, and that we can flag them and factor them into the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just in terms of recommendations, now that last one that was being read out spoke about PFMA, and I just want to, there's two issues that I'd like to make sure that we highlight in the recommendations. The one is that we highlight the fact that things are not right, and there are too many things hidden away. way where PFMA practices are not followed, and PFMA is not implemented properly. So I think the implementation of the PFMA and the consequence management for non-adherence to the PFMA is something that we need to highlight. That would be number one. Number two, I would also like to talk about the payments both in and out, and the importance of taking responsibility and accountability, firstly invoicing appropriately, for collecting appropriately, and then for paying appropriately, both contractors and municipalities, etc. I think that was something that came out quite strongly in various places that we've been over the last couple of weeks. The fact that contractors are not paid, the fact that municipalities are not paid. So you've got both sides of the coin there. So, you know, that as well will deal with the litigation side of things, and will minimize the amount of litigation that's happening if only the department makes payments when they're supposed to. Okay. The last thing I want to highlight, Chair, and it's the acknowledgement by the Deputy Minister when we spoke about keep to your knitting, and he said we don't even know what our knitting is. The fact that the department doesn't really know itself what it is supposed to be doing in terms of how far it should be going in. And I think that whilst that will be partly dealt with in the review of the first white paper, which was entitled DPW, it's a 97 white paper called Public Works Towards the 21st Century. I think that it needs to go a little bit deeper than just that white paper. I think the department itself, and I go back to my word, strategic review, they need to define who they are and where they're going. Because that is missing in so many aspects. And we heard about it. We had the one department saying that they're schizophrenic. CIDB was telling us that they're schizophrenic. But I mean, that was a common thread throughout where, you know, we have to achieve certain things, but while we're trying to achieve those, we are also trying to build and reconstruct and develop. And I mean, I don't think it's only this department that struggles with that. I mean, you see various different departments where you have the role of both the warden and the guy the game warden, as well as the guy that has to put the food on the table. But I think clarity in terms of that, the department really needs to find out who it is. And having an admission that we don't know, that the department doesn't know who they are after 23 years is really alarming. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Matere?
Thank you, Chair. Though I misunderstand some of the comments, particularly when they mention department they don't review themselves. I just want clarity whether they mean because department really, to say department it means that you are complete. You know exactly what you're doing. Job description of the job. So Mr. Reed, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I support my colleagues in terms of late payment issue. Because really it kills our amazing contractors. Must do something about it. Really. I mean, I started to be a contractor tomorrow, CIDP 1. I'll be CIDP 1 for 10 years to come. I mean, it doesn't matter. It also affects us. Marcella said it affects us, the disadvantaged, the poor of the poor. It doesn't help us at all. I'm concerned about this grading. This grading is a big issue. Let us do something about it. We must just come up with a strategy from our committee. That what we should do with that training. I think I've got only that 2 comments.
Sierra?
Honorable Chair, I think we have covered by all that we have been saying all along, but I'm sure on 29 there is a lot of information lacking from Azuma SA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fill them up there and make the necessary recommendations. When we get them tomorrow, we'll get them in the acting.
Honorable Fatani?
Two standard items. One is the timelines to say we would like to have a response of the department within so many days or months to where these recommendations, otherwise we can get away with matter if we don't tie them down to where, you know, days by which they must come back to us. The other common item that comes to this stage is to check if the department is on time when it comes to processing necessary legislation. I think what they said in the APP would help us, you know, here. I may not be able to say in terms of the expropriation bill and, you know, CIDB and what have you, but our staff should be able to say, okay, this is the kind of legislation that they had promised that would be processed. We basically got one financial year between now and the next parliament, and we need to shake them up to see when are you bringing up this piece of legislation, what are the reasons why this has not come, because remember, we must still go and do public hearings on that, so the longer they take to even bring it here, the less will be the chances of us finalizing, taking a given piece of legislation to close to finalization, even if it will be a job that will be done by the next parliament. But at least they must enable us to process to the extent that we can, you know, bills which are critical, especially the CIDB thing, because it's inhibiting the, you know, progress of the people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Should I respond to my colleague or should we take it offline, Chair?
Offline.
Offline. I'd be happy to go at length, Chair.
Honourable Njobo?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to cover the Honourable Ministerial and Honourable Sintu.
I'm worried that you're covered by Fultani. No. Honourable Members, thank you very much. Let me also thank once again our staff that under difficult circumstances they have pulled the impossible to make it possible. Thank you very much, Shoaib, Ines, and Nola, Maltines Jobandwana, for the wonderful work that you guys have really performed, and also for Khadija in her absence, and for Meza. It's really a great thing that we can finalize a report in such a short space of time. Members, also to you, thank you very much for your diligent observation and your observing factors. You must remember one thing, that if we fail to keep the minister, the executive, to account, because through holding the executive account, we hold the department account and the entities. Because our recommendations goes to the minister, and he must then ensure that these guys live up to standards. So through not holding them account, we'll be failing our constituencies. We'll be failing the people, whether we've got 60,000 votes, or whether we've got 6 million votes, or whether we've got 11 million votes. We'll be failing those people, and those people that hasn't got a voice, specifically our rural people, we'll be failing them. We'll be failing them. So thank you very much for the work that we have done, and I think we can then, I want to put a mover, a proposer, and a seconder for the adoption of the BRRR. If there's anything to aid, was Jobandwana was forward the things to you, please, and please go through it, see that everything is there, so that if needs be, you make the alterations before it gets to 86. But after the alterations been done, we will send it back to you again for a final to say this is the final thing at the moment. So members, can we then get a proposal for the BRRR report as amended? And Honourable Njobo?
Thank you, Chair. I move the report we adopted with amendments.
Thank you very much. Proposer, seconder? Honourable Fossan. Oh, are you delegating?
No cooperation. Well, I second the proposal subject to the acceptability of the recommendations.
Yes. Also, our staff, we must also put in terms of our recommendations that we've done on our oversight. We can take from the oversight report that we had, specifically the one on the small harbors, TPC4, what the, you know, the school at Fort Beaufort. I'm dreaming about that school in actual fact. But please see what you can do in that regard. Members and staff, thank you very much for everything. God bless you, and go speedily, enjoy the afternoon, and remember, be sober on the road, on the Morale.
Can I just clarify, so tomorrow there's no meeting?
We won't have a quorum.
Thursday?
We won't have a quorum also.
On Thursday?
Yeah. You see, one member is on study leave. He's coming back Monday. We don't know how long Dr. Fick and Honorable Matlopa will be sick. We are not sure how long. I know that apart from the ruling party side, there is certain things happening in their provinces, and they need to go back to the respective provinces to do their work as such, as they are being deployed. And I'm not sure if Honorable Botani is available on Thursday.
No, sir.
That's right, his house is flooded in Utata, so I think you'll have to leave probably this afternoon or tomorrow. So members, I don't want to waste your time and keep you in Cape Town. We've got other things much better to do at home or at your constituencies, for that matter, and says that let's wait and meet, or let's meet. I'm the type of chairperson that does not just meet for the sake of meat. No, I don't just meet for the sake of meat. I only meet if I must miss my job, then I'll meet her. But thank you very much. But Honorable Ryder, I think we're done for this week. Thank you very much, members. All the best. God bless you.
Yes.